It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We generate an astronomical amount of data each day with credit card transactions, logging in and out of computer programs, use of apps. Even when we're commuting to work, we're generating data. All of that data has potential uses for private or public purposes. This week, some of the leading minds in what's now called big data gathered in Pittsburgh to talk about the newest uses. Jerome Pacenti, chief scientist of big data at IBM and co-founder of Vivissimo, talks about how all this data is generated and how it can be put to good use in our everyday lives. He joins us now in Studio A. Jerome Pacenti, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. What kinds of information are you referring to when it comes to the term big data, and where is this data coming from?
Well, I think you give some good examples. I mean, it's the data generated by the activity of people every day or by the activity of computers. So you mentioned credit card transaction. You can talk about, you know, everything that happens on your phone that can be recorded or tracked. And but also everything that happens on servers and computers generates some log data that can be used to drive some insights.
And how easily accessible is this information?
Well, you know, it depends. Some data, well, it depends who you ask to. You know,
sure.
If you ask an NSA, they'll tell you it's very accessible.
Well played, sir.
No, it depends. So one of the key of developing the big data tools is to make that data easily accessible. And now we have tools. The key of big data is not just to access it, it's to drive some insight out of it.
What are the potential applications then for big data in the public and the private sector?
Well, I mean, you know, I'll give you two sets of examples.
Sure.
I mean, I'm part of IBM, so I'll give you a couple of examples we've done for customers, and I can tell you about what's happening today in Pittsburgh, actually.
Okay.
So IBM, you know, we do things like we work with wind turbines. You know, how do you decide where you're going to put the next wind turbine? Well, to decide that, it's a very complex decision.
Where it's windy.
Well, it's not just that. You know, how
it
can be too windy. So you want to look at, you know, weather data, but you want to look also at historical data. You know, where you put all the other wind turbine, how do you combine with environment and other factors. So we've developed actually solutions so that people could decide, you know, where to put the next turbine based on literally trillions of data points to make the decision. Another example is around everything around social media, you know, tweets. How do you use that information to drive better marketing? You know, how can people understand, for example, you know, we work with Disney, figure out, okay, before they release a movie, will people like that movie? And they can see the buzz in Twitter about that movie and decide, okay, should we release it in 100 theater or 1,000 theaters based on the buzz it's generating? And it's pretty good actually at predicting this kind of impact. Now, locally, we are doing different things. Actually, there are companies here, a company called yesterday I had an event, as you mentioned, where we gathered companies and investors. And one company was called Tiramisu Transit. And they're tracking...
Tiramisu,
yeah. Okay. Pull me up.
Sure.
It's actually trying to improve public transit in Pittsburgh. And the way it does that is by leveraging the information that every single user of the public transit here can give it. They can tell it, oh, okay, I'm in a bus today. I just moved into the bus. It's full. There are seats, etc. And by gathering all that information, they can predict when the next bus is going to arrive for the next person. That's one example of usage here. Another example, interesting, is that I'm participating in a project called Open Data Portal for the city of Pittsburgh and the county, and try to generate, to put online all the interesting information that the county and city are generating so the citizen can track that. You have kind of this open government view, and also can generate apps and generate new value out of the data generated by government.
It certainly fits with the coming Peduto administration.
That's right. That's what we're working
vision.
With them.
Right, exactly, because they want to create more transparency and openness. We're talking with Jerome Pacenti. He is chief scientist of big data at IBM and co-founder of Vivissimo. Talk about the Open Data Initiative, this particular initiative.
That's right. So the idea is to make data generated by the city and the county open by default. So today, if you try to find, you know, data about, you know, any kind of legal status of your application, or if you try to figure out, okay, assessment data, how was your house assessed? It's difficult to find that data, and sometimes impossible. We're working with the county and the city to try to make any data they generate public by default. Now, some data may not be public for privacy reasons, but the idea is to kind of create an executive order so that data is public by default, and then create a portal so that any citizen or any company can leverage the data for their own good.
Just making it more accessible. What about private information? This kind of goes back to what we were talking about at the top of the show in the first segment. But where do you draw the line between useful data and intrusive data?
Well, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. And
of
I think, you know, they are used – when you talk big data, absolutely. Private information is part of that big data. And some of the tools that are developed by the companies can be used – you know, and are being used to do, you know, to infringe sometimes on privacy. So the key there is to, you know, have better policies around that. Actually, there's a good group at CMU. There's actually a group around privacy that we are working with to decide, okay, what information should be disclosed and what cannot be disclosed. Sometimes even you don't know that you're disclosing private information. You know, people can trace it back into the data without you really knowing it before you release it.
So you have to be careful.
You have to be careful. But often, you know, you shouldn't be afraid. There's more value in that data, more upside, especially for a city like Pittsburgh, than there are downside.
I guess it's just a matter of, you know, you make this stuff easier for people to access, but you have to put more effort into weeding out what you don't want people to find out.
That's right. But let me give you an example of how there's the good and bad. I mean, we know the bad thing about the NSA spying on us, et cetera, et cetera. But when you get companies like Google and Facebook, they are trying to get the good sides of open data by saying, every time we get a request, we should be able to publish that and let people know how much activity there is in this. So you don't disclose what exactly the NSA is doing, but you're disclosing the amount of things they're doing. So people can actually monitor and understand what's happening there.
Jerome Pacenti is Chief Scientist of Big Data at IBM and co-founder of Vivissimo. Thank you so much for stopping by to tell us about this and keep us posted on your work.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for having me.
You are welcome. Merci, monsieur. And thanks for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.fm or as a podcast in iTunes. And we welcome your comments and story ideas at ESSPGH at WESA.fm. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Have a great weekend, everybody.